Good afternoon, America, and good morning, Australia. You're back on Radio Tony, and this is A Conversation with Kez. I'm your co-host, Tony Lodges, and soon we'll be joined by the gorgeous Kez Wickham St. George. For those of you that are listening live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitch, Teo is ready and waiting online from the Philippines to answer your questions and respond to your comments with website links. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the shows either on BBS Radio or on my YouTube channel. And it's bbsradio.com/RadioTony. Or if you want to find out any information about the guests that we talk to each week, just jump on to radiotony.com. A special big shout out to Payo, who's waiting for us live online. Just so you know, we've had some technical issues this morning. We've got some of them sorted, but our guest had a network outage at the moment, so we'll just play it by ear as to whether she's able to join us or not. The replays of all these live shows can also be found not only on YouTube but on Binge TV networks across the US. Tony TV has a channel app on Roku, LG and Samsung smart TVs across the planet. So if you've missed any of our shows, please join us on those avenues. Now, to kick off the show, just a little bit about my international best-selling author and book coach, Kez Wickham St. George, who is the driver of her own creativity, and her passion is to inspire and nurture others to tell their stories. Her values are simple. When you touch a heart, you can change a life. And by encouraging you to write or journal, her belief is that it will only add value to your life. Now, as I said, today's guest is Jennifer Sharp from Daisy Lane Publishing. And in the hope that she'll be able to join us at some time during this show, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Jennifer first. Not only is she the founder of Daisy Lane Publishing and Mindset Magic, Confidence and Wellness Coaching, she's on a mission to support as many as she can with living their life fully with positive intention and to assist them with their publishing their story along the way. Jennifer is a leader in the publishing industry and has published award-winning authors. She's assisted many in telling their success stories globally, whether it be in business or life or from their imagination. She's created coaching and mentoring programs that develop the writer's confidence in themselves and strategies that help them stay confident within themselves in all areas of life. Jennifer is also passionate about children's picture books and poetry, bringing to life stories that deal with trauma, displacement, homelessness, separation, domestic violence, and language learning. In a previous life, she was an early years teacher and a literacy mindset coach and linguist. Today, she is a lover of both cats and dogs, serving them 24 hours a day whilst drinking too much coffee than she cares to admit. So in the hope that Jennifer joins us during the show, Kez and I are going to get on with the show. And we thought that in the meantime, we'd talk about why people publish or author in anthologies. So, Kez, over to you to explain exactly what an anthology is and why authors or budding writers might want to be in an anthology.
Okay, for the older generation that's listening, an anthology really is a short story book. So it is encouraging all sorts of authors to go along with the theme or the title. In recent years, it is now called anthologies. Don't ask me why, I have no idea. But I still enjoy writing the short stories I enter to keep my brain elasticized and not into one genre of what I write, which is romance adventure. I enter many magazines and many anthologies when invited. And sometimes I just see them advertised and I'll throw something in, you know, I'll write something or I'll have a story that I think is worthwhile being published and I'll send it off to them. But But my main theme is I love doing them because it's within my capability to write a short story. Most of them are only 2,500, 1,500 words. And I just find them to try to get what I say. The challenges for me is trying to get the story, because I am a long storyteller,
Yes.
into those words. So there's a challenge. There's also the elasticity of the brain working, because I can go into paranormal, I can go into fiction, I can go into true life. There's all sorts you can write about. So I find it challenging, I find it quite exciting. And it's also the opportunity for you to get known as an author instead of just going up to a publisher and contacting someone and saying, I've got a book. Start getting your same your name known into small anthologies, and even all the more modern magazines, they will have a short an anthology section, which is also your short story
Yes.
section, and just enter into them and see what happens. You may get rejections, but on the other hand, you may not, and that's the exciting thing about
Yeah.
it. So really, your health is being taken care of with your creativity and your elasticity. And there's a lot that goes for saying, I got up at 3 this morning, I couldn't write. Oh, I wrote the start of an anthology. Because a lot of people just get up and think, well, I'm awake, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
For instance, my husband is a non-writer and he wakes up at 3 in the morning. So he creates things in his mind, like he's rebuilt the caravan, things like that. I wake up and I think, what can I write? What can I write that's going to excite and make another person want to write? I'm also a mentor, and so I encourage other people to add their value to an anthology.
And I know that I've been asked this, and I know because you've been asked this too, why authors would. So it's common practice for people to pay to be part of an anthology. And the value of that is that you get to tip your toe into the world of writing in a small and concise way. I've heard people say, why would you pay? Well, that is the way that publishing is going, actually. The traditional model of publishers paying authors is actually diminishing quite rapidly. So it's more common for people to what we used to know in the industry as self-publish, whereas it's actually providing a platform for your work to get out there. So I'm a published author, but I wish that I'd known before I published my memoir that I could dip my toe into writing and authorship via a collaborative book. So the collaborative book that I've just been part of is and has been for a number of weeks number one bestseller, and it's a volume four of anthologies of stories around business, life, and universe. And so I actually get to say I'm a best-selling author because I've been part of a best-selling anthology. So for those of you that are thinking about writing and thinking, oh gosh, they're a bit apprehensive. This is one of the ways that you can tip your toe into authoring, be part of something that's bestseller or sells really well, and start your author journey that way. Again, I've had this conversation with Kez. I wish I'd known that that was an avenue that I could take before I wrote my big memoir, because writing long stories is time and intensive, whereas a little 2,000 word story and an anthology gets you used to the sorts of things that and the disciplines around writing and continuing to write. Kez and I are also involved with another anthology that's coming up towards release in September called The Colours of Me. Now, Kez is more heavily involved in this one, so I'm going to hand back over to her to talk about The Colours of Me.
That was very exciting, Tony. It was an idea that came up with Michelle Wittering, who is the co-owner or the co-author, because we've got about 20 authors in the book, so nobody can claim I'm better than anybody else. We're
That's
all
right.
it's on an equal platform.
Yes.
So
Yes.
it's amazing the friends you make through an anthology tree. It's absolutely amazing the
Yes.
friends that I have
Yes.
made through designing a with help, not just on my own. I had no idea what an anthology was, really and truly. I've just entered short stories all my
Oh.
life. So I didn't know. I
Yes.
thought, oh, well, people are writing anthologies. Let's have a look at it. That was about 5 years ago. Since then, it's really taken off. With The Colours
It
of Me,
has.
I bought the name. The name is mine because I have a
Yes.
poem called The Colours of Me when I was going through a grieving process. And I thought, what a fabulous name for a book. Always wanted it, the name for that book.
Yep.
So that name went on the cover. And then we sent out the invite, not just, oh, we'll choose you and you and you. We actually put it
Yes.
out there on Facebook. So the answers we got back were amazing because, well, they were amazing because they were authors that we knew, authors that we'd
Yes.
actually had spent some time with in Ireland, and people that really wanted to build that bond up. So this particular Colours of Me has built a beautiful family up of all experienced authors and some new authors that we've never heard of,
Yeah.
who have just blown me away with their stories. So we made it very personal. We made it, all about you, how you've come to where you are now. And it's all been a journey for all of us. That's what life's all about. But I'm just blown away by the content, by the passion that people have written with, by the
Yes.
intelligence that they, you think, I didn't know that about you. My goodness. So you're a hero in so many ways. You've saved cats from burning houses or whatever it is. So
Yes.
you learn about your co-authors, you build a tribe, and that's the fun. That's the fun of being a
Being
co-author.
something, yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
that's the fun of it because you get to meet them, and when you have a release or a launch again, you're meeting all
Yes.
these people. You've never met them. So I've never met some of the people. And I just think I look at some of their work and I think, wow, you can really write. That's what I think. If
Yes.
only you knew, because we look upon our own work as, oh, who's going to read
Yes.
that?
Highly critical of our own work.
Always. But in an anthology, there's 18 other people, 20 other that are all thinking the same thing. So you've got a
Yeah.
family there, and we build each other up. That's the main thing.
Yes.
If
Yes.
the person that's the owner of the anthology is wise enough, they will bring that
Yeah.
family together, get to know each other, to have a chat to each other,
Yeah.
or invite, like, if you don't have a massive launch like we are having at Peel Manor House for The Colours of Me, then it's get together on a Zoom, have some sort of meeting
Yes.
together, get to know each other. That's the beauty of an anthology, is you're not doing it on your own.
And it again, like I said before, you get to, if you're not a confident writer and you want to just see where you're at, it's a great way in a supportive environment to test the
Yeah.
waters of your writing, isn't it, Kez? The
I
Colours of
found that.
Me is, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. I found that the people that were entering, we're getting back to Michelle and I with editorial questions. And that's the other beauty of an anthology, because an editor is employed to do the work.
Yes.
Now, this is
Yes.
where the money side comes into it. To be completely honest about an anthology, it might cost you
Yes.
$300. We hire
A
an
brilliant
editor,
investment.
which makes your story shine. They really do. They cross the T's, they dot the I's, and they point out to you very nicely, could we reverse it in another way? Because it
Yeah.
might not have suited. You might have gotten carried away with your story. So it's not what suits the book. And you have a flow in the book. All books need to flow so the reader can follow it. So then after that, then there's the publisher. They're not free either. So
Yeah,
then
that's right.
you find a, I'm very lucky, I've got MMH Press, Cara McDermott, saying, throw us the anthology. We I love anthologies, you know, so it's all very exciting like that. But there's still a money concern. So every that's why everybody is asked to pay their little bit. Now, $300 to write, I think it was 3,500 words for this particular
It's a
anthology.
bargain.
It is. It is. Now we bought it. We're not getting the two of us that is our creative baby.
Yes.
We're not getting paid. We entered it
No.
like everybody else because
Yes.
we have things that we want to say on anthology, but also we wanted to bring a tribe together. That tribe we now
Yeah.
are bound in a book together. And well, you can imagine if you're living in one
Yes.
room, you know, there's all these
Yes.
authors and we've all got something to say. I just, you know, one
Yeah.
of the ladies that I encouraged to go in the book has never has written legal papers all her life and wanted the freedom of
Oh.
writing about her, wanted to grow wings and look at her fly. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, these
Yeah.
people that are bound to their work, this is such a lovely way to be creative. And
Yes,
an
yes.
anthology does that. So, okay, so the cost, we get so many people in, the cost of all come out of that. There's the printing, there's the publisher, there's the cover of the
Yes.
book. You got to pay, all these little things come in, and then you think, we've got a book, we've created a book. And
Yeah.
it's so
Yeah.
exciting, Tony, when you think that there's all these people in this book and you don't know half of them, but they've all
Yeah.
found the passion. And writing is a passion. No matter what you write, whether it's legal papers, medical papers, one of my clients is a medical scientist that writes a lot of papers, as she calls them, a lot of thesis on different medications.
Yes.
She joined in the anthology because I said to her, it's time to get out of the uniform you
Technical
wear
world.
and be creative. And I never
Yeah.
realized how beautiful she could write. Never realized what a beautiful writer. So
Yeah.
it's and it's also fancy wearing that hat. I'm a published author, bestseller or not, I'm a published author.
Yes.
It might be the only
Yes.
thing you do, but it actually go on your CV if that's what you want to do
It
with
does.
it. It's lovely.
I was going to say, I didn't realize what authenticity and respect was given to me once I become a published author. I didn't. It was unanticipated. I didn't expect it. I was a bit blasé. But it does give you an element of respect that you have actually gone through that process, and it's quite an arduous process, particularly editing, which is where the Colors of Me is at the moment, isn't it, Kez? It's in
No,
editing at the
we've
moment.
gone to publishing.
No?
Woohoo! We're in publishing.
Oh, that's exciting. That is
Yeah.
exciting. Okay, yes, it's getting close to September, which is the launch of the book in Perth in Western Australia, which is completely over the other side of the country between Kez and I. But I'm already excited. I can't wait. I'm looking at going over for the week. We're looking at broadcasting the show from Perth that day, that week rather, and interviewing the authors who are part of the Colours of Me book launch. Because Jen looks like she's still having trouble, technical trouble getting on. So I thought we might just quickly talk about some of the amazing things that Daisy Lane Publishing does, since we're actually talking about publishing. And the purpose of this show, of course, is to highlight writers, authors, books, publishing, editing, anything that's involved in that creative sphere of writers. So Jen from Daisy Lane is a publisher and a writer herself. So she's published a number of books in her own right, but she's gone on to help others publish books. One of them I notice is a friend of mine called Michael Ray, who is a single dad, and I interviewed early in Radio Tony's history, and he was amazing to talk to. So his perspective is about being a single dad. He had to take on the role of mother and father effectively in a situation that wasn't great. And so he's the sole carer for his beautiful daughter. And we had a wonderful discussion around what it means to be a single father versus a single mother in this world, and the issues that he's highlighted and come up against simply because he is a guy in a single father role, and there's not a huge amount of men in that role. I know one of the other books that Karen published as well, but is by a beautiful author called Karen Hendricks, and her book is called Home. So in Jennifer's business, Daisy Lane Publishing, she does the coaching and the whole realm of writing, from the idea to the coaching, to get you to the point where you've got a manuscript, and then the manuscript goes into editing. And as Kez and I have discussed before, editing can be a little traumatic. And then there's other parts of editing that need to happen. So things like the structural layout of your book and the formatting, what it's going to look like, what type of font do you want to use? Will you use pictures in your book? Will it just be words? And then when you start getting into that format phase, there's a lot of considerations. How will the chapters be set up? What will they look like? Will you put pages? When will you put pages? Where will you put page numbers? So I never realized how much was involved in the actual formatting of a book and getting it to that published place where it looks beautiful and reads beautifully. There's a whole heap of work that goes into that section of the book. And then after the book's published, then you have, in most cases, a launch, and then you embark on marketing. So Jennifer's Daisy Lane Publishing does that whole package of services, and she has a number of represented authors on her books, and she's a gorgeous person to work with, and she gets the best out of the people that she works with. So I've watched on as Michael Ray, who is the author of the book about single fatherhood, I've watched as he started just talking about his journey in single father terms and growing his network and tribe to just publishing his book, which has just come out not long ago, and to see him starting to speak. I watched him in Parliament recently, where he talked to MPs about the issues around single fatherhood. And that's the power of writing, isn't it, Kez? It can take you from one place to another place, and you don't ever know how that's going to, what's going to transpire, do you?
Well, to be honest, I've worked with four different publishers now in my writing career, and I don't actually know Jennifer personally, but we have chatted many times. And just a quick, you know, and she follows me and I follow her. But I do notice what I love about Jennifer is the support she gives her authors. Now, I haven't seen one bad word, one negative, I shouldn't call it bad, but one negative word about her ability to guide another into writing their book. She is there for you no matter what. And that's what makes a good publisher, an excellent publisher, one that shines and that will support you in your journey. So if you're not sure about what you're writing, you get a hold of your publisher. A lot of publishers say, well, just write your book and the editor will sort it out and editors make books shine, la, la, la. That's correct. Editors do. But But it's so nice. I have a fabulous publisher who I just have to say, can we have a chat? And if
Yes.
I don't find myself bogged down with, I can't do this, like writer's block. I haven't had that yet. But what I do get
Yes.
is I go off on a tangent and forget what I'm talking about or writing about. I will go off. So I will check in. Now, I've noticed that Jennifer, with the clients that I work with, she's worked with, and they've all told me that she
Yes.
keeps you going down. She keeps you going down that journey, that adventure that you're on, with such kindness and love. But she'll also pull you up too. And that's what a publisher does. That's what a publisher is for. They're your friend. They've got to be.
Yeah.
So, because Jennifer also builds
Yeah.
confidence. She brings up these little newbie writers that are quite shaky in the boots, and they walk away with a march in their step. They walk away thinking,
Yes.
confidence, I'm going to write this book. And when they've written the book, it must be, well, I know the feeling I get when I get someone say to me, right, I'm ready to write my book. Thanks for the guidance. Because as a coach, we drive them through it. But it's such a
Yes.
wonderful feeling knowing that from a faltering step, you're causing a person to march now, and they're marching to the beat of their own drum. And that's what Jennifer
Yeah.
does. I think
Yes.
she's marvelous with
She
what she does. Her
absolutely.
publishing process is amazing. It's so thorough. And
Yes.
I don't know of any publisher. She's about maybe the second one that edits, proofreads. She does the lot. So
Yeah.
to get her as a
Yes.
publisher,
Yes.
man, you're on a cloud if you get Jennifer. And where they're not all easy to book in. I mean, to do that must take up days and days and hours of her time, because it
Yes,
is a
yes.
long journey.
Yeah, it is. And mentoring is challenging from a book perspective because
Oh, yeah.
you as the writer have quite an idea about what you're going to write about, and the publisher needs to look at those writings from a different perspective in terms of saleability. One of the questions we were going to ask Jennifer was about how she picks the books that she thinks are worth publishing. Because let's face it, not everyone is going to have a book that publishes well. We all want a certain level of success when we
We do.
publish. And it is the publisher slash editor and that process that will bring that book up to the standard with which readers will devour it and buy it and read it. I know
Exactly.
that Jennifer has a passion too for children's books, and
Yes.
she's got some and romance. So those are her two passions, romance and children's books. She's also got a business book called Excuses, Your Guide to Successful Authorship, but
I've
it's a
got that book.
children's book that, see? And the synergy here is that I think that Jennifer's first book was indeed published by your publisher, Karen McDermott,
Yes.
in Serenity via Serenity Press,
Yes.
which is a wonderful synergy. And I was going to ask her what tipped her from authorship to step into the publishing role, because she's very good at it, the whole journey of publishing a book. And I wondered what made her decide to go from author to publisher. And I was still hoping that she might get on the call today. I do know that she's really passionate about children's books, and she has a specialist children's illustrator. Kez, you've written children's books.
I have.
How important is the illustrator in that process?
Very important to not all children will understand the words, okay? Some
Okay.
you can't expect all 7-year-olds to have the same understanding of the English language. It's just not possible. We
Yes.
all grow in different spurts, so we all have brain growth in different ways. So if I when I wrote Pelly the Pelican, my illustrator was from New Zealand. Absolutely
Yes.
magic woman to illustrate with, but the words would have been drab, absolutely drab. would have been a story without being able to open the book and say, wow, there's a pelican flying. And it was about a naughty pelican, naughty boy pelican. And so they have that picture explaining it to the kids so they could actually see the naughty pelican leaving the nest. And this is what also fascinated me about Jennifer, is that she's also realized what a lot of us older people have realized, is that learning is now longer the same as what it used to be. Learning is very, very different. So I believe, talking to a teacher yesterday, that what we once went to school for is now being taught. So your kinder years, when you're in kindergarten, when you're, sorry, in your first class of school, we used to call kindergarten. And I was quite surprised that those children are being taught to read, to do a what they call a short learn the short alphabet, which is APSA, and to recognize pictures that tell the story. To when I went to kindergarten, it was everybody play with the dough, everybody knock bricks around, everybody get in the mud puddles and socialize. You know, it was a socialize. I loved it. I loved it because we didn't have to, well, we were told stories and showing pictures, but not a lot. When I went to school, it was hard work. I was thrilled to learn this is happening in kindies. And this is where Jennifer's going to shine with her stories, is because it's being taught in the kindergarten years, which is year 4 to 5. And let's not forget the age impression is from 0 to 7. Imagine what those kids are learning when Jennifer puts out a book that speaks about kindness, being on an adventure, being humble in your attitude, and it's all done through pictures. They're learning, the learning these days is so different. And I was sitting down to dinner last night with two teachers, and I was shocked because I'm an ex-teacher, and I thought, when did that come in? I haven't taught in a classroom for 10 years, so it's changed considerably. I'm really proud of Jennifer. She's kept up with it so that when you do open the book, you can see that the illustration brings the words out in complete harmony. The kids do get it. The kids get it.
Because Jennifer's background is in teaching and linguistics, I believe. So that's the important component she brings to publishing children's books, is that knowledge and understanding from, I think, 20 years of teaching, is backed up in the way that she publishes children's books in particular. The other thing is that for writers, adult writers of any genre, there is, the e-books, the audiobooks, the novellas, all sorts of different things. But for children, there's always going to need to be physical book in their environment, because as much as technology advances the way and helps them learn, they'll still need books from now until forever. I'm sure that there'll be wonderful augmented reality type books and stuff that come out, but children will still need to actually sit with a physical book because that's how they learn. Is that
That's right.
right, Kez? Is that my,
I think so. Yeah, I think there's nothing. I know this may sound crazy, but when I was reading books to my kids, and you get to the end of the page and you wait and you see their reactions, and they can't wait for you. If they get the page, they can't wait for you to turn that page, and they start to wriggle and jitter, and you think, you're really hooked into the story. I'm going to turn the page now. So they watch you turn the page, you show them the picture, you read the word, even if they may have their own book. I just love watching kids read to and learning the words as well. I think it's such an, the brain is an amazing thing. And this is what I feel that Jennifer is working with. She's working with opening the brain to children so that the story she's publishing from many different authors is understood and read. We are living in a different world these days, different from what we've ever known before. Even school is different. It's taught from a slide board, which is inserting numbers into a screen and getting children to
Yeah.
pronounce the words like that. So holding a book, holding your very own book, and children treasure them. I'm often
Yes.
given a children's storybook. I've been given two or
Yeah.
three by Jennifer, and some by
Yes.
MMH, and some by solo authors that publish on their own. And those books will be reviewed by me, but then I take them off to the local school. They don't have them. I know they won't have them. So
Yeah.
my joy is maybe once every 2 or 3 months, I get to sit and read to the kids. That's an absolute joy for me.
Oh,
Yeah,
I was
absolute
just
joy.
going to say, all three of us, Jennifer included, are pretty passionate grandparents, grandmums,
Yes.
nanas. I'm Nana. I know that I started reading to my grandson very, very early on, and he's getting older and older, but he still loved to sit with Nana and read a book. And it's wonderful how their little brains are like sponges for information, and that a book can actually change the way they think about the world. I think back to when I was 5 and 6, and my grade one teacher used to read us books from a little wondrous rabbit called Pookie, Pookie. And I remember as an adult, in just like in the last, 5 years, trying to find those books so that I could buy them for my grandson, because they were about this wonderful, magical white rabbit. And I remember those books and being read those books from when I was 5 years old. So book and reading for children can have a lifelong impact. And the one thing I loved about that little white rabbit was he was kind. And I grew up thinking, I want to always be kind. So it has a direct correlation. A powerful children's book can have an immense impact on many, many lives.
That's very true. I think that the biggest reward for me was I had one of my grandchildren come and live with me because mum wasn't very well. And he lived with me for
Yeah.
quite a long while. So every night I was writing then, and I would read him every night a story. My greatest reward ever was when he read me the story at 10 years old. He read the book. He read the book
Oh.
back to me. He said, "Nana, it's my turn to read to you." And I thought, "Ah, you'll never do it." And he did, word for word.
Yes.
He imitated me, showed me the pictures, explained what it meant, and I knew he got it. He got what I was trying to do. When he was
Yeah.
12, I actually gave him one of my
Yes.
stories to edit and said, "What do you think of this?" And the little boy did. He was 12 and he edited my very first short story. He
Yes.
didn't do a good
Oh,
job.
wow.
Didn't do a good job at all, but he could do it.
It go.
And this is through training on children's stories. So when Jennifer
Yes.
publishes or writes a children's story, she's
Yeah.
actually helping, she's helping the world see a better place. There's lots of children out
Absolutely.
there, lots of children that are in wheelchairs, on life support, that are very sick in hospital. A lot of my books, I live 10 minutes from a local hospital. A lot of my books go up, there's a children's ward, the kiddies books go up there. Because I don't have no need for them, so the school's got some. I've been given a couple of extra copies off to the hospital, and there's readers up there as well, children's readers. And I've watched the children wait for 2 o'clock, and the sick ones in wheelchairs and beds, and they're all in one ward. The kids wheeled into one ward. Now it's a bit different. They all have to wear masks and sort of sit outside the door, whatever, and from a ward. But listening to this, it's story time at the hospital. It's amazing. And that's an amazing thing to do,
See,
isn't it?
the power of books, particularly children's books. Wouldn't you want to know that the book that you wrote for a child has helped many, many children? And there's if you th if I think about the books that I can remember from childhood, they're number one, Pookie and all of Pookie's adventures, but there was my kid's favorite was The Hungry Caterpillar. And I've noticed since my kids are in their 30s now, but when that book first came out, it was just about a hungry caterpillar eating his way through apples and fruit and all the rest of it. There's been different reiterations of that very book over the last 30 years. And I love it when I go into, say, Kmart and I see the next iteration of the book. So to begin with, it was just one of those lovely thick cardboard caterpillar with holes in the fruit. And there's been different reiterations of that the whole way through. So that book is still around 30 years later, still enthralling children and still helping children understand the metamorphosis of a caterpillar through to a beautiful butterfly. And how amazing is that?
It is amazing. I was brought up in Janet and John. Janet and John played with the dog Spot. And so that's what I was brought up. And my children were, they adored Hans Christian Andersen. They enjoyed the stories. I still have a book that my father was read to, and that was early 1900s, and it's called Jack and the Beanstalk. Now it's what they call a little book, I know, but it's amazing how that book was published because it is so wordy. It's so different from today's book, where we try and make our children understand what the word jump means. This book has got very few illustrations in it. It's very small, but my father was read to from that book from his very early days at school. And my father was born early 1900s. So yeah, when I look, and I've still got the book, and when I look at it, I think, wow, look at how education's come on. Because we do actually, in our writing, try and educate our small ones. And that's why I think Jennifer's done so well with her children's books. She's educating, and it's so important. So important that we teach children to love, honor, respect, be kind, but also there's an adventure in it.
Absolutely. I know a couple of children from another publisher friend of mine who have published their own little books before the age of 10. What a gift to give a child to know from that early age the capacity that they have to be involved in literature. What a gift to give a child to publish their own book. Now, we can't get off this show today without mentioning that Jennifer, in her absence, has a special offer for all our listeners today. And that is through the month of June, Jennifer's offering coaching packages at 20% off, 20% off her Mindset Magic course, and 20% off all her publishing packages in the month of June. So, listeners, Daisy Lane Publishing, publishing packages, 20% off for the month of June. Payers listening online, so there will be a link to Jennifer's website, Daisy Lane Publishing, and her email. And I encourage you to mention that you heard about her 20% off publishing packages on Radio Tony and a conversation with Kez, so that she knows where you've heard the information from. But if you've ever thought about publishing a book, then why not now? The world is in need of stories, and we need to keep talking about, writing about, and publishing stories. And it's a wonderful offer from Jen and the team at Daisy Lane Publishing to have 20% off publishing packages, 20% off coaching packages, and 20% off Mind Magic throughout June. So you've got exactly 28 days to take up that option. 20% off on a publishing package is an amazing offer from Jennifer at Daisy Lane Publishing. And if that's not an incentive to get off your butt and write that first book, then this is it. 20% off a publishing package is a wonderful offer for the listeners of Radio
Huge.
Tony and our show. And if that doesn't entice you to get on and talk to Jennifer about what publishing a book looks like, at the very least, have a chat with Jennifer about what it's like to publish a book for either any genre. As we said, Jennifer has a particular passion for romance and children's books, but that's not to say that she doesn't publish other books. So the author that I mentioned before, Michael Ray, his book is essentially a memoir about his journey into single fatherhood. And so, again, that offer for Radio Tony listeners and anyone listening live today is 20% off all publishing packages, coaching packages, and Mindset Magic through the month of June with Daisy Lane Publishing. Kez, we are, and just so listeners know, for those of you listening live, Peo will pop the links to Jennifer's website, her email, her social media, so that you can connect with her in her absence. We want to do her justice in the face of the fact that she just couldn't get on due to network issues today. And we want to make sure that you remember the name Daisy Lane Publishing, because Jennifer Sharp is a particularly special woman. She has a wonderful knack for bringing the best out in you and your book, and she's right. Passionate about writers and authors, really passionate, very supportive. If you look on social media and follow anything that Jennifer does, you'll see her loving support for her authors. She's a smaller publishing house, but that's not to say that she hasn't got amazing authors and amazing books, and I encourage you at the very least to jump on and have a talk to Jennifer about her publishing packages, what they look like, and take that 20% off in the month of June. Kez, in our journey together as authors and our experience with publishers, and we've talked about this before, you've had a couple of bad experiences with publishers, and I just wanted to quickly tell the listeners some of the key things that you can look for that will highlight that you're not getting the best out of your publisher.
The one thing I didn't do was my ego overcame common sense. And so I didn't do the research. Now, if you do research and you find nothing but good there, you know, and look at people's reviews about their time, look on their Facebook page, their website, anything like that, look at their reviews that people give them. They're not just made up lies, because people actually, well, if they love what you've done, they will leave a lovely review. If you look on anything Jennifer's done, it's completely open, honest, and she supports
positive.
You. And that's what I wanted to point out too. She may be a small publisher, but that's the best way, because she can hold your hand. She's not too busy, you know, bringing in awards, standing up, saying, you know, I'm a publisher, winning judges' things. She's not too busy to stand aside and say, I'm here to help. And that's what all a publisher does. She's there to help.
I was going to say,
she is. And, you know, she'll encourage children. She'll encourage children to write or adults to write. Yeah. Or the other thing that I'm working on now is to a child and a mum that want to write together. So it's all, So why not co-write? And I know Jennifer would just be, if anyone contacts her with those fabulous specials coming on board for June. Think carefully where you can review her work, find out what people are saying, because that's what a review is, what someone thinks of your work, and have a conversation with her, because that's the main thing. Once you connect through communication, your inner guide will tell you, yes, I want to work with this lady. The moment I met my recent publisher, I knew she was for me, the moment I met her. You know, she wasn't saying, oh, well, okay, pay me some money and I'll do your book. There was nothing like that. We actually had twice we met, and though I haven't met Jennifer, we've met online, and I can't I can't say anything that would guide anyone that wanted to be a new writer or an old writer, a published writer. Go for the special. It's going to save you a lot of money, and learn to trust. Learn to trust who you're working with. If by any chance you don't fully trust your publisher, then you haven't done your research.
Yeah.
And it all comes out to that.
Really important, isn't it, Kez, that we remind people that if you're thinking this is a big endeavor and it's quite an amount of money to invest in yourself, and number one, you have to understand that it is an investment that may or may not pay off. So not everyone has the level of success that they desire. However, the benefits of the knowledge that you've published that book that you always wanted to publish far outweigh anything else. But what I'm trying to say is that if ever you've wanted to dabble in writing a book, wanted to dabble in writing a children's book, then this is a really great opportunity for the month of June to take a look at Jennifer's package and the 20% off. So that's a really substantial discount for people looking to publish their books or wanting just to talk to Jennifer. There's always no obligation. Jennifer's not that hard sell publishing person. She will just listen to your ideas and guide you. And we can't recommend her highly enough based on all of our interactions and all of the knowledge that we have from people that have worked or are working with her.
That's right.
That, my friends, is our lot for this week. One final reminder, don't forget, 20% off all publishing packages at daisylanepublishing.com this month of June. Contact Jennifer, info@jennifershart.com.au, or I know on Daisy Lane Publishing website there is a contact form. Don't forget to mention that you heard us talking about Jennifer's publishing packages live on the show today. And I'm hoping that poor Jennifer gets network access again soon, because thinking that a publisher without internet access would not be a good day.
No, not at all.
Yes, thank you so much for joining me again this week. Thank you, audience, for listening. Despite our network issues and the absence of the glorious Jennifer Sharp, we will try again at some stage soon to have Jennifer on. But don't forget, take advantage of those publishing packages this month of June, 20% off for all listeners of Radio Tony, a conversation with Kez. Kez Wickham, St. George, thank you so much for joining me again this week. That, my friends, is our lot, and we will see you again soon. Bye for now.
Bye.